It's 20 years tomorrow since 9/11. 20 years. For some of us, it's like, wow, that went fast. For some of us, it's like I was just a little kid when that happened. So the two people that are in the studio right now fit those categories. There's a history here. And there's a changing to our world that we need to discuss on this 20th anniversary. And we're going to bring that to you. We're going to bring the stories behind the scenes. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how America changed, how it's never going to be the same after 9/11, how we reacted to it. Did we react to it properly? Did we do the things that still made us as strong as what we could be? One perfect example right off the bat. I flew a lot before 9/11 and never had to take my shoes off once. And now what's going on? America reacted. Well, there's some things that happened on that day. On that day that not many people know about. Jim DeFede is a journalist, and he's an award-winning journalist. He's currently an investigative reporter for CBS. But he's someone who wrote a book, The Day the World Came to Town, which is about 9/11 in Gander, Newfoundland. And so we get a chance to visit with him. Jim, good to have you on News and Views, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Joe.
Now, this is the true story behind what ended up being a smash hit musical, Come From Away. And but, Jim, with all due respect, I think those of us that haven't been to the musical, haven't known some of this, don't know the whole story of your book, The Day the World Came to Town. If you could, just start by telling about the inspiration to write it and what the heck happened that day in Newfoundland.
So the inspiration was I saw a small newspaper clipping right after 9/11 about something that happened in this tiny Canadian town, Gander, Newfoundland. And as you know, as you remember, when after the attacks on the towers, and at the Pentagon, the United States did something it had never done before in its history, which was to shut down the airspace over the entire country. And everyone, every plane, no matter where it was at that moment, had to find the nearest airport to land. Well, at the same time, there were 400 flights coming from Europe towards the United States. But they were told they would not be permitted to enter U.S. airspace. There was a real concern, particularly with some of the European flights, that there could be additional terrorists on board those planes. So the U.S. said any pilot who tries to come into the U.S. airspace risks getting shot down. So the planes had to go somewhere. And the Canadian government, and this is something that I don't think the Canadian government gets nearly enough credit for, said, you know what, we'll take those planes. We understand there's a risk, we understand there's a problem, but those passengers need to get on the land. The United States is dealing with a lot that it has to do with. So they accepted all the planes to come to Canada. And they were places in Toronto and Halifax and all over the eastern province of Canada, as well as the western provinces of Canada, flights coming over from Asia. But at the same time, there was this one town, Gander, Newfoundland, population 10,000, that took in 38 jetliners and almost 7,000 passengers. So the town nearly doubled in size. And the town, obviously, you don't have a manual for how to do something like this. And yet the entire community came together, and the churches opened up, the community centers, the lodges, you know, the Lions Club, all these folks took in people. And when those places filled up, people opened up their homes and took passengers into their homes. And for the better part of 5 days, the town of Gander and its 10,000 people, along with some of the smaller surrounding towns, cared for these folks, did everything they could to comfort them, to get them going in the right direction once the airspace opened up. They fed them. They did everything they could for them. And let me just point out one last thing. Newfoundland is the poorest province in Canada. It is not well off. It is not financially very stable, high unemployment rate. And yet these people didn't hesitate to help their neighbors, these unexpected strangers coming to visit them.
Before I ask the next question, I have to say this as well. This isn't the first example, as you know, Jim, that Canada has come through for America, has come through for the United States. It doesn't surprise me, but yet it makes me smile as someone who lives so close to Canada and knows so many Canadians. Where did they put the planes? I mean, you talked about where they put the people, but if it's a town of 10,000 people, you might have a a runway big enough to land that plane, but you still got to put that plane somewhere.
Well, here's the great irony about Gander. So Gander was a town that didn't even exist prior to like 1935. And Gander was created in part in the buildup towards World War II. And they created a military base. At the time, Gander was sort of a independent province. It wasn't even part of formally part of Canada. And the Canadian government, the British government, and the U.S. government built a military base there with extra long runways. Because as you can recall from history, we're talking a lot about history today, in the run-up to World War II, the United States manufactured planes, and they sent troops into World War II. And if you were any material goods that flew into the war effort leading into World War II flew through Gander, because that was the refueling place. You couldn't make the flight all the way from New York to London. You had to stop somewhere to refuel, and Gander was that refueling space. So they had these massive runways that could house, you know, the large bombers and all the rest of it that would come through. And so for the longest time, Gander was the busiest airport in the world, with planes taking off or landing about every 2 minutes during the height of World War II. Well, once World War II ended and the jet engine came along, you didn't need Gander any longer because planes could make the flight from the United States to Europe. And as a result, the town began to shrivel and not, I won't say die, but it lost its purpose. It's lost its meaning. Suddenly, this airport that was so vital, so critical to the entire world, lost its way. And then 9/11 happened. And with those extra long runways were there, the town had a purpose again. And they rose up, and those runways were still there, and that airport was still able to handle all those planes.
I know we're going to get to the conversations about the bonds and the friendships and the relationships that were formed when you let someone into your home at such a terrible time. You know, the fact that somebody gave you a safe haven. But when you look at, you know, how this whole thing shook out, getting off a plane, finding out how you got off a plane, and then finding yourself in a part of the world that you really didn't expect to be in nor know about. What had to have been the reaction and the research you did from the passengers before I ask you about the citizens of the town itself?
So the pilots, when they were diverting to Canada, a lot of them decided not to tell their passengers what were going on, in part for security reasons. They were afraid that if there were terrorists aboard the planes, that would signal them to try to do something. So the first time the passengers often realized they were about to land in Gander was about 15 minutes or 10 minutes before the plane landed, when they were told they were being diverted. And when the town was, as the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Red Cross and the Salvation Army helped get the passengers off the plane and process, and they could only take, you know, whatever they had and carry on. They weren't allowed to you know, get their luggage. So as they were moving through the airport, coming off the planes, they took all the TVs out of the airport because they didn't want passengers to understand. And 20 years ago, cell phones weren't as prominent. So word did start to spread among the passengers of a terrorist attack, but they didn't understand it until they got to the Salvation Army or wherever lodge that they were staying at. And then they saw on TV those images. And by the time some of them saw it, it was 12, 16, 18 hours after we had all absorbed it. So imagine being in a foreign country. You look up at the TV. You don't know quite where you are. You're not sure where Gander is. And you see that your country is under attack. So for them, it was a lot of anxiety, which, again, is why the generosity of the people of Gander was so important, because it helped those passengers struggling with what was happening to get through what they were dealing with.
And to feel safe. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the relationships, which are clearly formed in your book. But the book is called named The Day the World Came to Town, 9/11 in Gander, Newfoundland. And it's written by the individual we've got the privilege of visiting with right now, Jim Defeedy. So stick around. We'll visit some more with Jim. Getting a chance to visit with Jim Defeedy on this, we're going to call it the 20th anniversary. It is tomorrow of 9/11. And he wrote a great book, which, it, you know, that story is based on that smash hit musical Come From Away, but the book is titled The Day the World Came to Town, and it's about Gander, Newfoundland, and Jim talks about how all of these planes needed somewhere to go. And Canada said, come on in, we will welcome you. And Jim, the relationship that people built, the friendships that you form at a time like that, in your book, you tell of some of that. Share it with our audience.
Well, probably the most poignant story is the story of Hannah and Dennis O'Rourke. They were flying back from a visit to Ireland. They live in New York City, and when they landed in Gander and realized what was taking place, their thoughts immediately went to their son Kevin O'Rourke, who is a New York City firefighter, and not just a firefighter, but he's part of an elite rescue squad based in Brooklyn, New York, that they just knew he would be in the middle of all that disaster. And for 5 days that they were in Gander, they waited and wondered what was the fate of their son. And during that time, when the folks in town realized that the parents of a New York City firefighter was missing, was among them, several of the folks in town really stepped up and sat with them. One woman in particular, Buell Cooper, a gregarious woman with a bit of a foul mouth and doesn't mind telling a dirty joke or two, would sit with Hannah. They were about the same age, and she Buell would try to lighten their spirits as much as possible. And that bond was something that was quite remarkable. And it was about 2 weeks after the O'Rourkes got home to New York that their son's body was found. He was basically between the 85th and 90th floors of the towers trying to help people when the North Tower came down. And when I wrote the book back in 2002, and on the first anniversary, I went and delivered a copy of it personally to Hannah and Dennis for sharing their story with me. And I can remember sitting in their living room, and Hannah was obviously upset with the first anniversary of her son's death coming up, and she was a bit downcast, and all of her other children were there, and they would prod her and say, "Mom, what was that joke that Buell Cooper told you? What was that naughty joke that she said?" And then Hannah would smile and tell the joke, and they would talk about some of the other people they met. And it was in that moment that I realized that at a time when Hannah and Dennis should have had nothing but darkness, no good memory from that day at all, those days after their son went missing, and just the complete darkness of the time, the folks in Gander, Buell Cooper and others, gave them something good to remember from that time. Doesn't make up for it, but at least it meant that there's just a little bit of light that they were able to hold on to. And those types of relationships were formed time and time again.
You know, Jim, what a great story. I mean, the Buellers of the world are the type of people in the world I love. And she came through. I mean, imagine that.
And 20 years later, I will tell you, they still talk to each other every month. And not only that, not to get too downcast, in the 20 years since Buell's husband passed away, Hannah's husband passed away. And they helped each other get through that from long distance.
Friends for life. The diversity of the people that landed. People do bad things, foolish things at a time like this. How many individuals on those planes were Muslim, for example? How did people react to the different cultures?
The cultures were very diverse. There weren't any problems. There was some families who were traveling from Saudi Arabia and from other places. And yet no one, yelled or got them in any sort of harm. It was sort of a time of coming together. No one was looking to blame anyone. They were just looking to get through it. I want to share there's one expression that I learned during my time in Gander, which really I think identifies everything about how they approach this. And that's the phrase, the expression, you can always add a little bit more soup or a little bit more water to the soup. And what that essentially means is that if I've got food to eat but my neighbor doesn't, I can add a little bit more water to the soup. It'll be a little thinner, but at least we'll all have something in our stomachs. And that's the way the folks in Gander approach this. And that's the lesson they learned. And those lessons reverberate today. I know a lot of passengers continue to keep in touch with their friends that they made in Gander and have felt moved and changed by the experience and have started volunteering in their own communities, started realizing and instilling in their children, you know, the fact that sometimes if you see someone in need, just help them. You don't have to go into a lot of detail as to why they need something or the problems in their background. Just simply, if someone needs help and you can help them, help them.
Find it and buy it. The Day the World Came to Town, 9/11 in Gander, Newfoundland, written by Jim Defeedy. Jim, you didn't have to share time with us today, and you did. You know, you've got a lot of people tugging at you, and I really appreciate you giving us your time.
Joel, anytime. I'm always glad to help.
What a great story. Thank you for telling it.